World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I don't even know where to begin. I'm telling you, I don't even know where to begin. And the reason I say that is because we really, in my opinion, the Bible tells us that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. You guys believe that? You believe that? And one of the things that's happened to us that we never dreamed it would happen, let's go back to 1963 when John F. Kennedy was killed. What was the news? No, I went, bad question. Where did we get our news? Well, NBC, John, what was his name? John something, Huntley and Brinkley. ABC World News Tonight, what was that guy's name? I can see his face. And channel CBS, Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is. And so every night you turned on your news and they told you that's the way it is. Except it wasn't the way it is. It wasn't. And so we believed for years and years and years. And all, you got to remember this, that what the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. And who, as evil and as wicked as the internet and chat stack, whatever the heck that's called, and AI, as wicked as all that stuff it is, we have to remember, it's not the vehicle that's evil. It's the way the vehicle is driven. Are you with me? So the internet isn't bad. There's a lot of bad on the internet. But Barbara Wawa, thank you, Cheryl. The internet's not bad. It's the use of it that's bad. Government surveillance, not always bad, because we want them to get to criminals. But the use of it is bad. A gun's not bad in the hands of somebody that's honorable and defending people. It's a great vehicle to have, a great weapon to have. Gun in the hands of the wrong people. So one of the things that if we understand this and if we believe this, that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. The scripture says, Bible. Hey, Spencer, see, I'll send you a $5 tip here. See if you can find that. Where is that scripture? Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. That's kind of scary, isn't it? What kind of stuff are you hiding you don't want anybody to know? There it is, Luke 8, 17. Hey, Spencer, always go a couple of verses before. Folks, this is important because you can't just take something out of context, right? You can't just pull a sentence out of context and build a theology on it. So now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear. A lot of people standing by the wayside, aren't they? Watching on the internet, they're standing by the wayside. Then comes the devil. And the devil takes the truth out of their hearts. The word takes the truth right out of their hearts. Lest they should believe and be saved. They're on the rock. They on the rock are they, which when they hear I should have gone back and read the whole thing. That when they hear, they receive the word with joy. See, that's, folks, that's some of you. When you hear the word, the word represents the truth. When you hear the truth, you receive it with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, in a time of temptation, fall away. People don't hang on to the truth when it gets tough. They capitulate, give in. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they've heard, they go forth. See, they've heard about vaccinations. For 3 years, they heard about COVID. They heard about Fauci. They heard about that. They received it. They believed it for a while. But then they fell among thorns when they went to work and the people they hung out with. And when they heard, they go forth and they get choked off. Who told you that? Are you a conspiracy theorist? You listening to that, coach? He's going to get you, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, come on. They're choked off with cares and riches and pleasures of life. Wow. And they don't ever have any fruit. How many people do you know that fit right there? Boy. But that on the good ground, I'm on good ground. You on good ground? Are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the truth, the words, the truth, they keep it. And they bring forth fruit with patience. Are you able to hang on to the truth despite the opposition around you? We'll show you some stuff this morning. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covers it up with a box and hides it under his bed. He puts it on a candlestick because he wants everybody to see it. He wants everybody to see it. Why? He wants them to enter in. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Manifest means obvious. Obvious. Spencer, do it real quick. I want people to, folks, you can't just read the Bible. Say, I've read the Bible. I read 16 verses today. Yeah, but you didn't meditate on any of them. Each one of those words means something. Obvious. Meeting. Opposed. Is that the word I wanted you to bring up, Spence? I got kind of meticulated here off the side. Manifest. Bring up manifest. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Plain, open, clearly visible. Hey, friends. Is it manifest to you that there's wickedness going on in government? Is it manifest to you yet? Is it manifest to you yet that the Republicans maybe are worse than the Democrats because they're more deceitful? The Democrats, I hate to use those two terms. They're open. They hate Trump and they're open about it. What about the Republicans that hate Trump and aren't open about it? What about the Republicans who've been to Epstein Island? What about the Republicans that have been with Diddy? What about the Republicans who've been taken? What do they call that? Kickbacks. Because there's nothing secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. We are in the midst of, in my opinion, the greatest unveiling and revealing in my lifetime. All of the lies that you grew up with and I grew up with are about to be exposed. Right now, they're all being exposed. I mean, we go follow whatever conspiracy you want to, whatever. And they can call you a conspiracy. They do all that you want to. Epstein, Kennedy assassination, Bobby Kennedy assassination, 911. Can I bring up any more? They are all going to be revealed. Why are they going to be revealed? Because the same technology that they have used to lie to us is now available to us to reveal the truth. We also have the internet. They can't block everything. Huh? What a time to be alive. For there's nothing in secret that isn't going to be made. What's that word manifest? What's that mean, Spencer? Throw that back up there. Plain, open, clearly visible for the eye, obvious to the understanding, apparent. Hey, friends, Republicans and the Democrats, they're the same team. They're the same team. I'm sorry. That's why they hate Trump. He ain't a Republican. He used to be a Democrat, right? Now he's a Republican, and they hate him. They hate him. You understand that what's happening right now in American, in the Congress, is the Republicans are the ones who are blocking Trump's agenda. You get that? Now, do you think they're godly men blocking Trump's agenda for a godly purpose? Of course not. Of course not. Why? Because they're two wings of the same bird. I'm going to show you some stuff today. Okay, I want to show you some stuff. So bear with me. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. I'm going to show you some things that are going to make you think. Why do you believe what you believe? I think maybe, would that be the theme of Coach Dave Life? Why do you believe what you believe? Who told you that? Why do you believe that? Makes us nervous, doesn't it? Is there anything that makes you more nervous than realize you've been lied to by those you trust? Been lied to? Bear with me a second. Come on in, Mel. I know you got something to announce here. Come on in.
Good morning, Coach.
Hang on, Mel. We're going to get into some good stuff, folks. Hang in there with me, okay? We're going to get into some good stuff. Go ahead, Mel. Sorry.
So, yeah, Spencer, if you could click on that. We all know John Hartzler, Jeff Lauterbach. On May 31st, they're having a celebration of faith, freedom, and MAHA. As you know, Jeff Lauterbach, or you may or may not know, he writes for the Epic Times, and he was the reporter for JFK Jr. The one that ran for president. But anyway, we know John Hartzler. He has the Great Milk. But anyway, they're having an event at Jake and Sabrina Warner's farm.
Right here in Danville, Ohio, folks. Right here. Right here in Lincoln County.
Yeah, right here. Looks like it's going to be a terrific event. So I would encourage everybody. The doors are going to open at noon. It runs from 1 until 5 o'clock. The map is there. So, head on over to the Liberty Action Network if you're interested in that. It's just in Granville, just a little bit away from where Coach lives. But anyway, I was excited. They contacted me, and I was anxious to put it up. I'm going to definitely go. So anyway, just wanted to let you know about that. And then, Spencer, if you wanted to scroll down, just as a reminder, we've got Grace's trial that's coming up starting on June 3rd. And then the Pass Assault Huddle, I know Coach is working on that. That starts on June 13th.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you.
This huddle is going to be different than anyone we've ever had. We're not bringing in speakers such. We're going to feature people who are part of our team who are already doing stuff. We're going to try to fellowship strongly and get to know each other better, and then figure out where we can plug in. Where we can make a difference. That's what we're going to do. I could bring in a lot of people to speak to us. I could, but it's going to be a players only meeting. And anybody who wants to come and be on the team, they can come. I want you. The part of this genesis for me was just to see the life in those guys, those five guys that got together with Mike Blake last week. How much we need that fellowship. And rather sitting there being lectured to by somebody, a little bit more of a round table, get to know, which is going to be fun. So we'd love for you to come. Gary's working on the finances. Folks, I'd love for it to be free. I would love for it to be free. I would. You know, if everybody watching right now gave $10 a month, we could make it free. If you just consistently said, you know what, I'm going to give 10 bucks a month. I'm going to give 10 bucks a month to Pass the Salt. I'm going to pull 10 bucks away from my tithe, and I'm going to send it to Pass the Salt. If everybody out here did that, we can make a lot of stuff free. So we're working on our price. It won't be that much. It's going to be like 50 bucks or something. We're going to feed you three times, four times, feed you all part of it. So, just score while we go. Cool. All right. I got to show you some stuff here. Anybody else for the good of the group before I get rolling too deep here? Because I've got, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I'm going to reveal some stuff to you today again. All right. I know the truth, and the truth makes me free. I don't care what the government tells me. I don't care what the scientists tell me. I don't care what the hospital tells me. I know the truth. I know the truth. Okay? So I'm going to lay some stuff to you. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to. There's some stuff that we need to know. Anybody for good of the group? Okay. No, nothing. That's right. Okay. What am I doing? Oh, pull that up there. Put in the chat. Pull up Mathematics of the Mound Builders. You want to talk about a lie? I'm not going to watch this. I'm going to make you aware of this video, and then I'm going to put it in the chat, okay? L.A. Marzulli, it's unbelievable. 35 minutes, the Mathematics of the Mound Builders. When you're done watching this, you're going to understand how this all, the Mound Builders around here, you're like in a football stadium. You sit high to look low. That the only way that all these mounds could have been built was somebody was above, looking down at the overall plan. Did the mounds in Newark connect to the mounds in Granville, connect to the mounds in Indiana, connect to the mounds? This is really, really good. So I'm going to put it in the chat, the mathematics of the mound builders. Folks, this is proven. It wasn't the Hopewell Indians. They're not Indian mounds. They're Nephilim mounds. You don't have to believe it, but I'll put that in the chat. Nothing hidden. That will not be revealed. You don't have to believe it, huh? Yes, Craig says, mounds spoken of here are 666 feet above sea level. Oh, my. Numbers. Where am I? I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. I just feel this stuff. So good. Okay, let me go back here. Bear with me here. Oh, my phone went off. What's that? I should have shut that off for a second. Hey, I just want to say this again while I'm thinking of it. How much I love my wife. I'm just telling you. That girl is something. She's a grandma. She's a hostess. She's a servant. She's a minister. She wears me out. And I just thank God every morning. I tell her I thank her every morning, and I thank God every morning for her. I just married her because she was pretty. I had no idea what I was getting into. And so God bless it. Boy, are the Republicans pissed in here in Ohio? You guys don't care, maybe. Republicans are pissed because Michael DeWine, who's our governor, can't run again. And Vivek Ramaswamy, whatever his name is, probably going to be the new governor. And do they ever hate it? Because he ain't one of them. Oh, it's crazy what's going on. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Okay, where are you, Coach? Where? I got to show you this number one. Are you ready? Wow. Point number six. Folks, this is amazing. Listen to me. I'm going to show you another thing here in a minute. I'm not a doctor. Dr. Paul, I'm not a doctor. Doctor, whoever else is in here, I'm not a doctor. Okay? More and more evidence is coming out. Let me give you the Coach Dave version. Cancer is a parasite. And imagine if you can, when you get a tumor, a growth, Paul could probably explain this a little bit better. I'm just giving you football locker room explanation. It creates a little sack of parasites. Imagine it being a beehive. Imagine it being a beehive. And all those bees are in that tumor. They call it a tumor. And all those bees are inside that tumor, and it keeps growing because they're reproducing and reproducing. And the cancer is getting bigger and bigger. But the worry isn't that cancer. The worry is what? The spread of that cancer, right? So what if we're finally beginning to realize that cancer is a parasite? A tumor is nothing more than a conglomeration of parasites. Now, let me say this. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is true. But boy, oh boy, did this begin to make me look at things differently. Look what's inside this tumor. Hey, folks, this is amazing. This is amazing. Go ahead.
What to see is the scientific proof that's being silenced all over the world by the big mafia that
hang
we
on,
know here.
Hang on. Think you can trust science? Think you can trust science? You know what they love to say? The science says. Think you can trust it? Trust science? Wasn't Fauci told us to trust the science? Science? Would it be, folks, until you begin to understand that there is a Lucifer, seed of the serpent, trying to oppose everything righteous, until you see this as a spiritual battle, you ain't going to see it. And the Bible says that the love of money is at the root of all evil. You mean to tell me that the medical system doesn't want to cure things? Because if they cure things, ain't no money.
Boom.
Keep going.
Have you ever seen what cancer looks like inside of a colon?
You're about to see it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your friend Janelle Rodriguez, and I am showing you here the evidence that doctors are sharing with us after this patient came in for the removal of several tumors inside of his colon. I know you just saw that. We're going to repeat this again. Look what's inside of this tumor. Just very cautiously look. Do you see that? It's full of parasites. The tumor is full of parasites. They are encapsulated. They are being rounded up by your body so they don't run freely. That is what cancer is. Cancer is not going to kill you. Chemotherapy and radiation to try to kill parasites will. What you're about.
Wow. Hang on. Pull up number four. I'm sorry. Come here. Coach Dave's a conspiracy theorist. I apologize for it. I'll get you in here, Paul. Because I know that it's deeper than what we just saw. I understand that the issue is deeper, right? So hang on a minute. What happens when you do a biopsy on a tumor? Oh, you poke a hole in it. Oh, okay. Spencer, pull up number four. Remarkable cancer-fighting benefits of ivermectin. Ivermectin can actually kill cancer stem cells, which are often resistant to chemotherapy. What? Yes, chemotherapy often doesn't kill stem cells, which is stem. That's where cancer begins. But ivermectin actually can. Scroll on down, Spence. I don't know who this guy is. Dr. Paul, I don't know who this guy is. Listen for about 4 minutes here first. Go ahead, folks.
I discovered an entire body of articles and scientific papers, over 100 papers, on the success of ivermectin in cancer. Now, these are preclinical studies, a lot of studies done on mice and cell lines and so on. But there is a tremendous body of work showing that ivermectin is successful against cancer. And all these, researchers have been trying to figure out, how is ivermectin doing this? How is ivermectin treating cancer? How is it that an antiparasitic that, has been a successful parasitic drug for decades, how is it treating cancer? And it's a fascinating body of research that has really been completely abandoned and ignored by Big Pharma. Ivermectin, of course, is off patent. Merck had a patent on it till, I think, 1996. It's off patent. No one's going to make money on it. So there's your answer. There's no money in researching ivermectin. And yet there are over a dozen mechanisms of action for ivermectin in cancer. Some of the more fascinating ones are that ivermectin attacks cancer stem cells. Now, these are cancer cells that chemo can't kill. So when your oncologist tells you, we can't cure your cancer, pancreatic cancer, colon cancer, it's because they know that the chemo is not going to be able to kill those cancer stem cells. And so ivermectin can actually kill cancer stem cells. It can also reverse resistance that cancer cells develop to certain types of chemotherapy. And so it's got this ability on a molecular level to reverse the resistance. It's called multi-drug resistance, and make cancer cells actually susceptible to chemo. It also makes cancer cells susceptible to radiation treatment as well. And so it's a radio sensitizer. And so patients, for example, who are taking combinations of chemo and ivermectin or radiation and ivermectin are seeing dramatic results that oncologists have never seen, that radiation oncologists have never seen, tumor shrinking down to almost nothing, liver metastases disappearing, brain metastases disappearing. And so, I've been writing about this for almost 2 years now. I've had, some articles go viral internationally, with millions of views on my Substack. And then last summer, I actually started treating cancer patients with ivermectin, with other antiparasitic drugs like fenbendazole, mebendazole. And so now I have what I believe is the largest ivermectin cancer practice in the world. I have over 1,000 cancer patients who are on either a combination of ivermectin and fenbendazole or ivermectin and mebendazole. When Mel Gibson had mentioned, that he had three friends who had, taken ivermectin and fenbendazole and had cured their stage four cancers, it rang a bell because, one of my patients had actually said that he was a very close friend of Mel Gibson.
Hang on. Cross-reference here. Cross-reference. Put it in the chat. Bring up number five. Let's cross-reference here a second. Number five, an entirely different website. New cancer treatment protocol featuring horse dewormer ivermectin, dog dewormer fenbendazole, and mebendazole. passes peer review, marking potential breakthrough in cancer therapy. Hang on! What's always been the treatment for cancer? Surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, death. Miracle, right? Right? Well, if it's a parasite, which we don't know, I'll get you in here a second, Paul, I promise. If it's a parasite, hey, friends, do you know that when, come on now, tell me you understand. I'm talking about lies here today. When COVID hit, they banned ivermectin. They banned hydroxychloroquine. Who did? Oh, yeah. I'm going to move on. Paul, I'm going to give you a chance here. I know this isn't the full story, but give us your take on it, Paul. Got to unmute, bud.
Sorry, I just threw that out there. I just kind of remind you that you say cancer cell. It's not a uniform cell. They come from different stem lines. So colon cancer is not going to be the same thing as a lung cancer, right?
It's like lima beans, green beans, corn. It's different forms. That's right.
Correct. So the Cologuard actually is a test that they send out in the mail for people so they can screen for colon cancer. It actually tests for parasites, Coach.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. The other
Paul,
thing,
to be true, Paul, help me out here. If a woman were to go in and get a biopsy of a breast tumor, it could crack that sac open. Is that true, Paul? Could help us maybe spread
it? Absolutely, Coach. I mean, it just makes sense, right? But keep in mind, that is colon cancer. You know, when you eat parasites, which we have everywhere, cats, dogs, everything, we eat our food, whatever, the first place it hits is your digestive system.
Amen.
It makes sense. And ivermectin does definitely work, Coach. I've been doing this for a long time. I have protocols that I got from all over, from real smart people, not me, and they work. They actually do work for certain types of cancers. And by the way, why not? You got stage 4 cancer.
Why not?
There's no other thing we can do except burn you with radiation, right?
Well, they don't even know what causes cancer, right? They try to tell you they think maybe eating this does or working in the sun, all these things cause cancer, but they don't really know.
Yeah, well, Coach, we all know that the reason we don't know what causes cancer and we can't put a pinpoint on it is because many things cause it. It's radiation, it's toxins, it's parasites, it's anything that robs the system of energy.
Chemtrails. Anybody say amen? Chemtrails, drinking water, fluoride in the water, all that stuff that science told us was good for us. Paul, a lot of it wasn't good for us.
Yeah, you know, McDonald's ain't good for us either, Coach.
All right, dude. Hey, folks, I'm just trying to show. Can I give you another one? Let me give you another one here. We did that one. Are you ready? Pull up. Oh, my goodness. Pull up number 7. Pull up number 7. Look at this. The immunization. Am I anti-vax? Look at this. In 1986, they gave 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 vaccines. And folks, those of you looking at me right now, what vaccines did you take when you were? I took polio. Actually, they gave me that drink, Sabin on Sunday. Anybody remember that but me? We drank it. And I don't know what kind of, they gave me when I was born. Probably at birth, they gave me, I don't know what. They gave me a couple shots, right? And now, look what they're doing in 2024. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21. 2, 20, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 immunizations listed right now. I wonder if any of that stuff would cause parasites, cancer. I wonder if any of that would. And then eat yourself some McDonald's hamburgers and McDonald's french fries. And then wonder why your system is all screwed up. Why aren't they telling us this, folks? Why aren't they telling us this? Trust the science. Trust the science. Trust the science. Is anybody going to arrest Fauci? How many think Fauci ought to be arrested? And everybody who promoted Fauci. I think Governor Michael DeWine here in Ohio, I think he ought to be arrested. He mandated to. How about all those guys who lied to us and take the shot, take the shot, take the shot, take people that we trusted. If they did that to you financially, they would throw them in jail. If they told you, if they took your money and invested it in something different than what they told you, or if they knew that the investment was going to be bad, they would go to jail. They'd go to jail. I'm going to show you another one. I'm going to open it up here. Hang on a minute. Oh, my goodness. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I got so much stuff to show you this morning. Bring up, it's 12. Bring up number 12.
Coach, I just want to say, did you notice it was all within 12 months?
Yep. I'm going to get them young, man. Hey, can I ask you this? So let's say you say, Coach, I took all my immunizations and I came out fine. Yeah. I wonder if you passed it to your children. I wonder if something in that was kind of altering in your body and you passed it into your kids. When you had children, they have it. And then it morphed again and it passed into your grandkids. I wonder. How about this? I'm not going to take you through this. Put it in the chat so you can listen to it. Government admits it knew COVID vax shots were a fraud. They knew it. President Trump, pull them off the market. This is from Karen Kingston. I don't know if you know who she is, right? They knew it was a fraud. They knew it. How many people are dead? How many people are dead because the government told us to take those shots? Wow. Okay, I'm going to throw something else in. This is going to make you nervous too. Then I'm going to open it up and we'll chat a little bit about this. Say, Coach, I tuned in because I wanted to hear something about the Bible that would encourage me. Well, really? I've told you a bunch about the Bible, that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. That they are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. That they've done it through infiltration, not invasion. I've been telling you that. You ready for this one? Simple question. Number 8. This is a simple question for you. Yeah, I guess this is conspiracy central, isn't it? No, that's not it. That's not the one I want. Number 8. I think it's number 8. Yeah, okay, okay. Hey, okay, very short. I want to ask you a question. This is a video of the moon landing. It was 1968, wasn't it? This is the original TV broadcast of the Apollo 11 spacecraft landing on the moon. In fact, you can see the Earth in the background there, right? Can I ask you a question? As you watch this, it's about 15 seconds. Who filmed this? Go ahead.
5%. How many bites? 5 feet. That's looking good. Down a half. 6 forward.
Hang on. Evidently, the first man on the moon was some cameraman. Must have been some cameraman, first guy on the moon. Start it again. Folks, I sat in my living room and I watched this and landed on the moon. Look at the video. Yeah, live cameraman showing us landing on the moon. You say, well, Coach, they launched a rocket ship up there earlier that had a camera in it. And so they landed right next to that rocket ship so that they could, yeah, really? Go ahead.
How many bites? 5 feet. That's looking good. Down a half. 6 forward. 60 seconds. Right side.
Zoom in.
6. Down 2.5. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent. Host control both auto descent and command override off. Engine arm on.
We're home.
413 is in.
Man on the moon.
We copy you down, Eagle. Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground.
And we got one guy
about to turn blue. We're breathing again.
Thanks a lot. Oh, boy.
Huh? That's one small step for a man. One giant leap for mankind. Look at Walter Cronkite. Oh, boy, we pulled that one off, didn't we? Wow. But if you go talk to the average person in America and you say we never went to the moon, they'll think you're a fool. Come on, Kevin.
You know what your problem is, Dave? You know what makes you a dangerous man? You ask too many questions.
I mean, I just say, great picture. Who filmed it? Who filmed that? Was there already, did we send somebody up before these guys? How did this work? How did this work? Johnny.
That's one small fib for man, one giant lie for mankind.
That's right. And they perpetrated on and on and on. And I asked the same question. If we went to the moon, why haven't we gone back? Why haven't we gone? They said that the computing power that they had, I should have pulled this up. The computing power that they had in 1968 was no stronger than what you have on your cell phone. And so they're getting a cell phone signal to the moon, live, cameras. Gullible, huh? Gullible. Come on in. Somebody come on in here. I've rattled on here for a while. I got more. If you don't come in, I'll throw some more stuff at you.
Keep going, Coach.
Thanks, Betty. All right, I will. Pull up my latest. I'll make every pastor in America. Hank, let me ask you a question. Really, if you went to the average person that you go to church with, and you ask them, what is the purpose of church? What would they say to you? I'm asking somebody answer. Betty, what's the purpose of church? What would they tell you? You went to your friend and say, why do you go to church? What would they say?
They got great music.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Usually if I ask what their church do, they always say they have great music. The music.
Great music. Beth says it makes me feel good. What else? Why would you go to church? A good coffee bar? Yeah, pay my payment for salvation? Huh? Oh yeah. I have a great building. We have a lovely choir. Right? I have a sense of community. Thank you, Beth. We have such a great pastor. Oh, I love their youth group. Folks, I'm not making this up, right? Would that not be the reasons why cute girls, thanks, Paul, they want to worship the Lord as one whole body, strengthening one another and holding each other? Yeah, okay. All right. Good. All right. Gathering of the saints, corporate worship. All right. I get it. Yeah, great pastor. Really? Why go to church? Can somebody tell me? Hey, Betty. Hey, Susie. I'm looking at names here. We're in church now.
Amen.
Do you guys understand that? We're in church now.
Amen.
Well, it's a gathering of the saints. There's no rigmarole. There's no singing of songs. Oh, we could. I could get Dave Allison out, play his guitar. Tom Gill could play his guitar. We could do praise and worship right here. You don't have to be in the same building. Why do you go to church? Let me throw this one in here. You ready? Guilt. I feel like I'm supposed to go.
Boom. Tradition.
You can see that, Coach.
Tradition. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rochelle, I'm going to let you jump in here. Then I'm going to read this. Go ahead real quick, Rochelle. Hang on a second. I'd like to corner a pastor. That's the wrong word. I'd like to ask the pastor. I would like not pastors in that are part of this. Not these guys. I would like to ask the pastor, what's the purpose of church? What's the purpose of coming to your church on Sunday morning? That's what I'd like to ask. Okay, I'm going to get into it. Go ahead, Michelle.
Sorry.
Hey, good morning, team. I just wanted to add, why is nobody talking about the biggest lie ever told to us about going to the moon? You know what I mean? Why don't we want to talk about this? Hello?
Michelle, hang on. Why doesn't the church talk about it? We're supposed to be the purveyors of truth, are we not?
Let me read this to you because these are my thoughts. This is a booklet I put together. I am speaking to the believers of God of the Bible, the great I am. Read your Bible. It won't matter what version because they're all flawed. I am going to address the biggest lie you have ever been told, the number one attack on the creation story in biblical cosmology. Remember what the evil one does. He has one purpose. His goal is to make you think you are nothing special, that you came from mud and not created for a purpose. Okay, so he tells you you're flying around infinite space with no direction, no order, and no accountability.
That's right. That's right.
He tells us lies so we think good is bad, black is white, and flat is round.
And there's a separation between the church and state. Go ahead.
However, one cannot read the creation story and believe it says we are on a globe rotating at 1,000 miles an hour at the creator, revolving around a giant sun at 666,000 miles an hour, while our galaxy moves at 43,000 miles per hour. Wait, while flying through the universe at 483,000 miles per hour. This kind of speed and movement is incomprehensible. Think about that. So while we're spinning on an axis revolving around the sun that revolves around the center of this Milky Way galaxy, and the galley revolves around the center of the universe, this is what they teach us, you guys.
But you're a conspiracy theorist.
Okay, how come we see the same stars at night, Coach? If I'm a conspiracy theorist, you answer me, how can we see the same stars at night with all of this and all of this movement? And it's because a child... As you exist as a child in a state, a theta brainwave state, okay? And our enemy has overtaken the young minds of all of us. And our God explains a enclosed terrarium-like earth in the very first book of our Bible. And if the Satan can make you think that the very creator of this universe doesn't even know what it looks like, why would you consider even the rest of that book? He stops you at the very beginning.
Hey, listen, hey, folks, we got to get rid of Rochelle. We got to ban her. She cannot. She's a conspiracy theorist. We can't have conspiracy theorists here, Rochelle.
I have one more thing. This is not a conspiracy. Years and years ago, Betty gave me this address to the Cheshire Horse. Now, I've got a little human-sized horse. And I give that little human-sized horse electrolytes. And I also give it ivermectin. You can order from Cheshire Horse. It's much cheaper than the wellness company and all of these other grifts trying to make money off you. It's the same molecule.
So Rochelle, hang on a second. Why do they want to give ivermectin to horses? Because we know it kills parasites. Is that right, Rochelle?
Amen.
It's an anti-parasite.
Yeah.
Right? Why not humans?
Oh, we don't have parasites, Coach. Oh,
okay.
Don't get parasites.
No, and if you get parasites, if you were, you'd probably get sick, wouldn't you? If you had parasites, you'd probably get sick.
Probably would. Probably. Go figure.
We got to get her out of here.
The doctors wouldn't have anything to do, and the pharmaceutical companies would go broke. Amen. Who knows?
Yeah, I love this show. Judd, come on in.
Coach, I was just going to say, it boggles my mind. The pastors who will wear a NASA coat in front of their congregation. They'll wear a NASA space uniform in front of their congregation.
It's unbelievable.
People will promote to watch the space launches in front of their congregation. Even worse. They'll put an astronaut mural on the side of their church. What is your message?
Okay, so folks, hang on a second. I'm going to ask this question, okay? I liked it. Some of you just, you put it in the chat and I liked it. It popped up, okay? So rather than having come in to tell me here, even though this is interactive, come on now. What do you expect of your pastor? What do you expect of your pastor? I'm going to watch as they pop up and I'm going to read them. What do you expect of your pastor? So folks that are out there right now, we have a chat going on right here. Paul says balls. Rochelle, honesty, that they'll tell me the truth. Good. Speak the whole truth, love and hate. Preach the truth, insight. Why would you go to a church where the pastor says to you, preach against the culture, integrity, accountability, speak only the truth, love? Why would you go to a church where they totally and completely ignore everything that's going on that's causing all the problems that you have? All the problems that you have are being caused by the enemy, by darkness, and yet they will not identify it and talk about it. Right? They won't do it. How many of you, to support each person's mission, how many of you go to church every Sunday and expect marching orders after the sermon's over? Folks, here's what we're going to focus on this week. Here's what we're going to do. Now go do it. How many of you expect that from your church? The answer would be, if pastor started doing that, you'd find another church. You'd find another church, right? So I wrote this today. I want you, look. Some of you looking at me right now are so far ahead of your pastor. You're so far ahead of him. And I believe it's incumbent upon you that you begin to do what it tells us to do in Matthew. Go into all the world and teach others. Teach others. Teach others.
Amen.
Look, if you go to a seminary-trained pastor, what do you think you're going to get? Huh? My wife said to me the other day, she wanted me something with the thing I was dealing with gout, thing I'm dealing with. She said, honey, you need to go to the doctor. And you know what I told her? That's the last place I'm going. That's the last place I'm going. Because they've been trained in lies. I'll call Paul Gosselin. Now, they threw him out. The medical system threw him out because he didn't fall in line and march like a little tin soldier like everybody else. But I trust Paul Gosselin because Paul Gosselin cares for me. My doctor couldn't pick me out of a pile of 50 people. He wouldn't have any idea which guy I am. He goes on the computer, finds some diagnosis, take this pill. See you in a month. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All done, by the way,
boom,
with the approval. When's the last time you heard your pastor, a pastor, any pastor, speak against the wicked medical system? When's that? You ever heard that? Pharmaceuticals? Ever heard a pastor talk about that? He won't talk about it because everybody in there is laced with pharmaceuticals. Hmm? You say, well, coach, if I quit taking this, I'm going to die. Yeah, that's true. Might be true. Or you could do some alternative medicines and figure out what the heck's causing it to happen. Rather than treat it, go to the root cause and stop it. You might want to try that. But don't take horse paste. Don't do that. I know it kills parasites in horses, but you're a human. You ain't really. My dog eats the same steak I do. I got to get to it. Hang on. Go ahead, Dave Allison or Sherry, one of those Allisons up there.
Coach, when people go to church, they expect the same thing from their pastor that we expect from our teachers when we send our kids to school. They don't want us to teach us anything. They want us to keep us safe.
Oh, Dave, they want to keep us safe. In fact, they tell us to stay silent so we don't end up J6 in jail.
So, Coach, when I go to the school board meeting, I told them the only thing the parents expect you to do is send their children to school, and you send them home with 10 fingers and 10 toes. That's all they ask of you. When we go to church, the last thing we want us, our pastor, to do is challenge us to do something that might make us unsafe, to Amen. Go out and share the gospel. God forbid someone speak in tongues. That might not be safe.
Dave, not only that, churches are like McDonald's, man. There's one on every corner. You can go find whatever flavor it is that you want to. And a lot of times we drive by and say, boy, there's a big church. I'm going to go to that big church. They must be serving some really good steak in there. No, they're serving marshmallow cake. And everybody likes the marshmallow cake. This is good. Go ahead, Judah. I'm going to read this here in a minute. Go ahead, Judah. Your hand's still up, Joe. I don't know if you want to come back in or not. Okay.
Oh, sorry about
that. That's all right, buddy. That's all right. Okay, so here we go. I wrote this today. Sissification of Christianity. I wonder, hey, folks, do you share these? Do you share these with others?
Yep.
Because listen, I don't mind pissing them off. I'll piss them off for you. Do you share this with other people? Because you can share it with somebody else, and then somebody will say to them, well, I think that guy's crazy. But they're not saying they think you're crazy, although they do. But let them hate me. Let them think I'm crazy. Give them a different perspective. Salt of the earth, light of the world. Let me state right off the bat that I've always been a competitive guy. Sorry, I'm going to read this. I think it's worth the time. It's in my DNA. Maybe that's why my parents named me David, knowing that my big brothers were going to try to pick on baby Dave, as my family called me during my prepubescent days. I'm baby Dave, that's what they called me. All my cousins called me baby Dave. Being the run of the litter came with a competitive nature and a willingness to take on the giants all around me. Perhaps that's why competitive athletics became such a strong outlet of mine. Strong men, listen now, strong men love competition. Strong men love underdogs, heroes. Strong men love fearless men. That's why the stadiums are filled across this nation during the fall, we call it football season, where people buy expensive tickets to watch men compete. There's no better place to watch bravery played out. Americans love watching brave men. We live vicariously through them as we witness the controlled violence before us. Our nation dedicates an entire weekend to Super Bowl Sunday. Churches gather men together to watch the gladiators compete. All men and women love bravery because it's the most noble of all of God's characteristics. Somebody give me a boom, Vinny. Somebody out there. That is a couple paragraphs right there, boys.
Boom.
Noah Webster defined bravery as courage, heroism, undaunted spirit, intrepidity, gallantry, fearlessness of danger, often united with generosity or dignity of mind, which despises meanness and cruelty and disdains to take advantage of a vanquished enemy. So let me ask you a question. Why is there so little bravery in the American church? I got this from Tom Gill. Pastor Tom Gill gave me this. This was an eye-opener to me. The dictionary uses another term for bravery. It's called pusillanimous. You guys ever heard that before? Pusillanimous, from which we get the modern term pussy. When one is called that derogatory term, it has nothing to do with a female body part. Pusillanimous means, I looked it up, destitute of strength and firmness of mind, which constitute courage, bravery, and fortitude, a being of weak courage. Someone who is pusillanimous, someone who is a pussy, is cowardly. Not woman. It's not womanly. Okay, you with me? Stay with me. So why is Christianity so pussified? Sorry, friends, that's not vulgar. Pussified means cowardly. Courage is not synonymous with manhood. Women can also be courageous. It's nearly impossible to be a real man and lack courage. My Christian friends, you are at least like our Savior when you're cowardly. Bravery is not the absence of fear, but rather the overcoming of fear. Christian men are at least like Christ when we shrink in the face of opposition. Does the church you attend encourage bravery? Does the man in the pulpit exhibit it? Does he extol you to stand up and speak up against the forces of darkness? Does he encourage you to fight for Christian virtue? Well, Paul's right there. Does he? Does he? I was shocked a few months ago when President Trump signed an executive order declaring that there are only two genders. In that one move, he demonstrated more Christian testosterone than 90% of the pulpits. Vinny, that'd be a boom!
Boom!
Most American pastors are pusillanimous in the face of a Luciferian-powered culture. Franklin Graham didn't declare it, neither did Joel Osteen or Rick Warren or Benny Hinn or T.D. Jakes. Nope. Crass, masculine, off-putting Donald Trump was the one who stood before the forces of darkness and defended God's standards. Two genders, baby. Like it or lump it, Trump said. There was a day in America when chivalry was taught to American children. clearly defining male and female roles. Feminism destroyed chivalry. Feminism destroyed the family. Somewhere along the line, Christianity stopped being about advancing a kingdom and it morphed into a personal life enhancement program. That boy, would that be a boom, right? Would that be a place for a boom?
Boom.
I did an internet search on chivalry. Chivalry is nothing more than God's design for male-female roles. Here are the seven traits. And I messed up on that. I noticed that this morning. Protect the weak. Friends, does your church teach this? Protect the weak. Loyalty to God. I put protect the weak twice. I screwed it up. Duty. Honesty. Generosity. And courage. Are those traits modeled and promoted in the lukewarm church that you attend? Did your pastor have the courage to declare that before Trump did? Did he promote blind obedience to Luciferian government? Did he wear a mask? Did he shut down the church? I guess my point is, modern American Christianity will not draw masculine men. The church is designed to please women. Soft men produce a soft gospel. Soft gospels promote compromise. Compromise undermines truth. Only truth sets us free. The modern American church has created a pusillanimous, passive, who am I to judge, weak version of masculine Christianity. Romans 8:19 says, for the earnest expectation of creatures waiting for the manifestation of the men of God.
Boom.
I once had a friend tell me, Coach, I would consider going to church, but I don't have to give up my balls. What is it about the church that would make a brave man walk through the doors? Churches no longer sing masculine hymns. They sing sissified love songs. Do y'all remember a character called John the Baptist? You know, the guy who didn't fit in the standard church scene during Jesus' day. He was so old school, he even had a different diet from everyone else. But Jesus sure knew who he was. When they asked Jesus who was the greatest Christian ever, Jesus answered without hesitation, verily I say unto you, among men that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, his cousin. Could it be that Mr. Baptist spoke truth to power? The same reason that his cousin Jesus got in trouble with the government officials of his day. Jesus and his cousin John were not pusillanimous. Both of them oozed bravery. John the Baptist would have been a J6er. Would he even be welcome in the American church today? Huh? Boom. Boom.
Boom.
Boom.
Mm. Boom. Put that in the chat. I'm going to ask you this. You got any courage? Share it with everybody. Share it with everybody you know. Because, see, we've created a pattern of the pastoral. This is what pastors do. Pastors don't make waves. Pastors are loving. Pastors pray for you. Pastors, come on. And we just read it right there. All creation is groaning, waiting for the men of God to show up. Not sissy, passive, best life now gospel. We're in a friggin' war. We're in a war for the souls of men. We're in a war for our children. We're in a war for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Church is a playhouse. Quickly, Trent, now I got to run.
Yeah, Coach, who are we supposed to be merciful to? The God haters?
No, sir. No, sir, not to the God haters. We thank God he's merciful. We thank God he died on a cross. Forgive us of our sins. But be careful about falling into the hands of an angry God. See you tomorrow.